But the other thing I try to do in this book is, because the Bush family is so well connected and have been for a number of years. I mean, this is George W. is the third generation. Prescott was his grandfather, the senator from Connecticut, who, of course, had an interesting business during World War II, trading with Nazi Germany after the attack on Pearl Harbor. Prescott, of course, laid the groundwork for George H.W. We know all about his background. But I really wanted to concentrate on this generation of Bushes more than the first two. And I took a look at some of the brothers you really don't know much about, especially the brother, the youngest of the brood, Marvin. Marvin's an interesting character. He lives in Northern Virginia, and right outside of Alexandria. Marvin is the least known, but there's probably a good reason for it. He's really the most corrupt of the corrupt. Marvin, for example, was on the board of directors of a company called Securicom, later changed its name to Stratasec. This was a security company that had a significant investment from the Saudis and the Kuwaitis prior to 9/11. The chairman of the company was Wirt Walker. Okay, that's Walker. You know, Walker Point. They got a geographical peninsula named after the Walkers up in Maine. That's in Kennebunkport. That's where the Bush compound is. It sits on Walker Point. Wirt Walker III is a cousin. He was a chairman of Securicom. It's interesting that on 9/11, Securicom had the contract for security at Dulles Airport, so the American Airline Flight 77 hijackers penetrated the security to get on the flight. They also had the contract for security for the World Trade Center. Time in and time out, you look at the Bush family and their connections to the people who were not just tangentially involved in 9/11, but were absolutely connected to 9/11, and you find Bushes everywhere. Bushes are Walkers, and it's not coincidence. If we had an FBI that actually went after real criminals, this would be on the top of their list for criminal conspiracy. This would be a RICO case like no other RICO case ever. We saw Securicom Stratasec go out of business in 2003. It turns out that the two financial backers, Hector and Eduardo Orlansky in Florida, were tied up with the mob. No surprise, Bushes have been tied up with the mob for a number of years, but the company went out of business. And just about a week and a half later, after that happened, on September 29th, Marvin's, I guess you call her a maid or a domestic governess, he has two adopted kids, she kind of took care of these kids and did a lot of things around the Bush compound, Marvin Bush compound in Alexandria. Her name, Bertha Champagne, a longtime employee of Marvin Bush. She's at home this one evening. It's about 20 minutes to 9. Marvin comes home from whatever he was doing that day, which I hate to think what he does on a daily basis. It's obviously it's illegal. He comes home, and she says, "Mr. Bush, would you like to see a videotape I have of myself and President Bush?" And he said, "Yeah, I'd like to see it." She said, "Well, it's out in my car. I'll have to go get it." Her car's parked in a driveway, a circular driveway in front of the house. And somehow after she opened the door to retrieve the tape, this vehicle, this SUV that she's driving, goes into gear all by itself, accelerates the gas pedal, and pins her up against this, what they call an outbuilding. It was the old Secret Service outbuilding from when George H.W. Bush was president. The son had Secret Service protection. Pinned poor Bertha up against this outbuilding, crushed her, killed her, and then the vehicle kept moving across the major street with a lot of traffic, a lot of D.C. traffic, around 9 o'clock in the evening, and wound up in some bushes across the street. The Washington Post reported that under the fold, somewhere in the back of the paper. Marvin Bush made dies in tragic accident. I called the Fairfax County Police. I said, I'd like to see the police report. They said, I'm sorry, that's classified. I said, since when are police reports classified? They said, since now. I got the police report. So what I'm telling you about the videotape of this person, Bertha Champagne, it comes right out of the police report, that report that no one was supposed to see. And now I can understand why. I don't know what happened to the videotape. I've been trying to find out if the police took that videotape or made a copy of it. But it's quite clear that just like with all other cases where the Bush family is involved, that, you know, pretty high-level people came down on the Fairfax County Police and told them to cover this thing up. There was no obituary notice in the paper. There was no announcement of a service. And a person who, one of my colleagues who helped me investigate this story, went and spoke to Mrs. Champagne's daughter, who changed the story even from what was in the police report and what Marvin told the police. She said, oh, no, my mother didn't die in the Bush residence. She died in the country club, the golf club across the street. So this is the way this family operates. Should we be surprised that a family that operates like that about one 63-year-old lady, a long-term employee of one of the Bush brothers, they lie about her death, that they also lie about the reasons to go to war in Iraq, that they lie about what brought about the 9/11 attacks? The family, it's a criminal syndicate. It's more than just a family. The Borgias were a family in Italy. This is a criminal syndicate. Because it's not just the Bushes, of course, when we throw in Jim Baker, the consigliere for the Bush family. We throw in these other people that have hung on to the Bushes for a number of years. We see this as really a criminal syndicate. And one of my throwaway lines, and I've said this on some of these radio shows, is, you know, the Bushes make the Sopranos look like Ozzie and Harriet Nelson. Of course, the other thing is, I would accept a dinner invitation to the Sopranos. I would not accept one to the Bush family's residence. We can go on with the other family members. That's Marvin, the one you never hear about, good old Marvin. Then there's Neil. We've heard a little more about Neil, because Neil was a guy who stole all that money from Silverado Savings and Loan back during the second biggest heist in our nation's history, the largest being the Enron scandal, the second being the SNL heist. Neil Bush has a education software company called Ignite, with an exclamation point at the end of that. His biggest clients, no surprise, the Saudis and the United Arab Emirates. Neil went over to the United Arab Emirates, his friends in Dubai, right after 9/11. Told them what a great job they were doing. I don't know what he meant by that. But we now know, because of revelations from Richard Clark's book and other sources, that the reason the two attempted attacks on bin Laden in Afghanistan failed, the one in December of 98 and one in May of 99, cruise missile attacks to try to wipe out bin Laden and his al-Qaeda units, they were postponed, called off because, and it was called Operation Delenda, they were called off because there were United Arab Emirates, Dubai, royal family members hunting at a lodge in Afghanistan very close to where Osama bin Laden was located. And they didn't want to kill them because that would have created an incident. So they postponed these two attacks. We find out that the Crown Prince of Dubai, who was on those hunting trips, is one of the best friends of Neil Bush, and is a big investor in his companies. We also know that Neil had a company called Interlink Management Corporation. What was their specialty? Bio-war defense, specifically things like countering anthrax attacks.